Today's unconventional talk is going to be about the subject of love, which is our next chapter in Ideas of Power. And I thought I'd start out with a definition from the Science of Mind textbook, because that's the source of our knowledge, right? Love is the self-givingness of the spirit through the desire of life to express itself in terms of creation. Emerson tells us that love is a synonym for God. We are also told in the New Testament that he that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. Love is free from condemnation, even as it is free from fear. Love is a cosmic force whose sweep is irresistible. Love is within us. It cannot be destroyed. It can be ignored. To the extent that we abandon love, we will feel it has abandoned us. Denying love is our only problem, and embracing it is the only answer. Through the power of love, we can let go of past history and begin again. Love heals, forgives, and makes whole. And the sentence that really stood out for me is that love is a cosmic force whose sweep is irresistible. I start thinking about Hurricane Maria and the impact it had on the island, not only Puerto Rico, but what's the other island,
John? U.S. Virgin.
Yeah, one of them, but yeah. There was a specific one. Sorry, I don't remember the name.
Okay, but, I mean, it's more powerful than a hurricane. There's nothing on Earth. Volcanoes, a hydrogen bomb, there's nothing. And so I've started playing with that in my head a little bit, because when you think about it, having something that powerful that's available to us all the time is really what this chapter is about. So the truth is that we all need to be loved and to be able to love others. And that's the essence of our being. So we all know that love is the greatest power in the universe, and without it, our lives can feel empty and unsatisfying. And I don't know if you've read books that contain characters that, you know, feel they're so flawed that nobody could ever love them, so they kind of, they're by themselves, and they're lonely, they're hurting. But that's pushing away love. So we sometimes do all we can to push love away, and perhaps unconsciously. And yet, you know, you think about it, love being the most powerful force in the universe, but some of us are so afraid of it that we do all we can to push it away. Myself included. Myself included. And so reading this chapter and thinking about love, the subject of love, has given me a lot of new insights. It's been helpful. And so I not only mined the Science of Mind textbook for information about love, but also some material from Louise Hay, who recently died, and Katie and Gay Hendricks, who offer a bunch of teachings on this subject.
Say her name again, please.
Louise Hay.
And the next.
Katie and Gay Hendricks.
Gay
is a guy. Gay is a guy, yeah.
Got it.
Yeah. They offer a bunch of teaching series, too, in addition to books. So I'm, you know, to try to condense my talk a little bit, I'm just going to talk about two things that we may be doing that would cause love to be driven away, and maybe help us be aware of that a little bit, and then maybe we can go a little further along the road of accepting and giving love. So, just to be clear about what I'm talking about, it's not just romantic relationships, but all relationships, including the one you have with the person that's checking you out at Trader Joe's every week. You know, I don't see much differentiation except in the intensity of the relationship. So, these two biggest barriers are the lack of self-love, which Gay Hendricks has written about extensively, and the second is the fear of loving others. So we may be aiming a lot of criticism at others, Particularly the closer we get to somebody, the more we may push them away by criticizing them. We may say something like, John, I don't like the color of your hair. You need to dye it.
Okay, I will.
Or something. Or, you know, something. I'm sure there may be some interchange with your wife that might include some criticism. But really what we're doing is it's means that we're not looking at some aspect of ourselves, because certainly I could dye my hair.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, my hair is actually jet black, but $40 a week at the beauty shop gives me this. Bleach out eyebrows, bleach out mustache.
Wow, I didn't know that.
See that? What you learn about people?
Mm-hmm. And for those of you that haven't ever seen John or myself in the flesh, my hair is completely white. And the only color I would consider dyeing it is purple. And John's hair is—he still has a lot of his jet black, but there's his eyebrows and his mustache are completely white. So, anyhow, I started thinking about meetings. I can get really irritable in meetings with my coworkers because some people choose to go on and on and on, and it's like, get on with it. Then I look back at myself and I go, oh, wait a minute, I do that sometimes too. Sometimes I go on and on and nobody cares about what I'm saying at that point in time. So, you know, here's some things that you may be doing if you don't think you're being critical of other people. Might be things like, why can't you do what I ask you to do? It's like you're ignoring me. I'm important. Why are you always interrupting me? You work too much. You're lazy and self-centered. You're a loser. You're so fat. It hurts to say these things. You never listen or consider how I'm feeling. So if we aim these criticisms at another person, what we're doing is we're stopping the flow of love. And Byron Katie would say that when you hear yourself blaming the other person, try doing a turnaround. Which I'll demonstrate. If you hear yourself, for instance, saying, you work too much, try saying, I work too much, and see how that makes you feel. Do you want to ask yourself, is that true? Is it true? Do I really work too much? I remember that I had a relationship in which a person left me for another woman, and I kept hearing myself say, he was unfaithful to me. Well, I started reading Byron Katie in this situation, and I said, I was unfaithful to me. How was I unfaithful? Well, I didn't knit. I didn't do some of the things I really loved because I wanted to be with this other person who didn't like me knitting or doing some of those other things. He didn't like my spirituality. And so it was a really good exercise for me when I, started saying things about him that were negative. They were really about something I needed to look at inside of myself. So doing this on a regular basis helps you to perceive your underlying beliefs, which is, I can't be me if I love somebody. That might have been my belief there in not doing the things I really love because I wanted somebody to be with me. So Louise Hay would have you ask, is it true for me now? Where did this belief come from? And if you believe your turnaround statement, like, I work too much, then it probably is true, and it's something you'll want to look at. So I have a short meditation from Louise Hay. Stop for a moment and catch your thought. What are you thinking right now? If it is true that your thoughts shape your life, would you want what you were just thinking right now to become true for you? If it's a thought of worry or anger or hurt or revenge or fear, how do you think this thought will come back to you? There's a very famous quote from the Bible, which loosely translated says, there's no fear in love, but perfect fear casts out all fear. For fear has torment, and he that fears has not been made perfect in love. That was the Darby Bible translation. So, in a lot of ways, fear serves a really good purpose in our life. For instance, if you're out camping and you hear a bear stomping through the woods near your tent, you probably want to get out as fast as possible, and the fear will be a great motivator. But in relationships with other people, it can be a little harder to figure out. A lot of people have a fear of being abandoned or of losing the relationship. And this is, you know, it serves the purpose of helping you to feel safe. But also, you know, if you're not allowing another person to be close to you, then you're not, you know, there won't be anything to fear. But at the same time, we're losing out on the ability to feel love and to give love. You may also fear being smothered in a relationship, and often if we had parents that were strict and controlling, we may be afraid within our relationships that we're going to be controlled as well, and takes away your feeling of autonomy, and you may feel like my personal space has been violated, there's nothing that's mine left. And I know that one of the things I do, I'm really good at it, to push people away, is to be so self-sufficient and to tell myself, I don't need anybody. I can take care of myself. Did that resonate with you?
Yes, Judy, it resonated with me. I've been guilty of that, if that's the right word. Maybe not quite the right word, but I have used that for self-survival.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Does anybody resonate with that?
No.
No.
No. I'm not saying you're wrong or anything. I'm just saying I'm not good enough to do that.
Dahlia doesn't. So Holmes says that one of our troubles is that sometimes we get to like people so well, and we get so afraid that their affection may not be returned, that we become self-conscious and we're not normal around them. We act weird. Everything that they say may hurt our feelings. We take it personally instead of remembering that it's all about them, not us. It's okay, Dahlia. My dog is trying to reassure me with love right now. So, now she's going over to John. But
okay with me.
Okay, therefore, to truly love and be loved, we need to heal ourselves of that fear and stop being so sensitive and think about love and friendship and kind of visualize in our mind how we want to be loved by other people. And Abraham Hicks has a wonderful exercise that will help us with being able to draw that love out, which is the Book of Positive Aspects. Where we take a person or a subject and we just write down all the things that we like about that. And we might want to do that a little bit after the break. Yeah. So inside, we may feel that craving to be loved, but the fear of rejection may be so overpowering that it would override that desire. And loving ourselves first can begin to erase that fear. And Gay Hendricks has a really good book on self-love, if you ever want to look it up. It's available on Kindle. So Louise says, I love myself. Therefore, I behave and think in a loving way to all people, for I know that that which I give out returns to be multiplied. I only attract loving people in my world, for they're a mirror of what I am. I love myself. Therefore, I forgive and totally release the past and all past experiences, and I'm free. I love myself, and therefore I live totally in the now, experiencing each moment as good, and knowing that my future is bright and joyous and secure, for I am a beloved child of the universe, and the universe lovingly takes care of me now and forevermore. All is well in my world. And one of the reasons I've been reading so much Louise Hay is because I have this recording of her with 101 power thoughts. And I've been listening to that over and over and over again. and she's got a bunch of affirmations in different areas. And this sounds like so much Louise. I love myself. And she really was the embodiment of love. So I appreciate her life. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to close with another quote from Ernie, the Science of Mind textbook. Love gleams through the mist. Through the mist of human fear, love gleams and points the way to freedom. I now decree and I declare that I am free from all sense of bondage. I am made perfect and whole through knowledge of the real life within me. No illusions can enter my thought. I know that there is one power, and I know that this power now protects me from all harm. As perfect love casts out all fear, so my fear flees before the knowledge of truth. I'm not afraid. I believe that love is at the center of everything. Therefore, I accept love as the healing power of life. I permit love to reach out for me to every person I meet. I believe that love is returned to me from every person I meet. I trust the guidance of love because I believe it's the power of good in the universe. I feel that love is flowing through me to heal every situation I meet, to help every person I contact. Love opens the way before me and makes it perfect, straight, and glad. Love forgives everything unlike itself. It purifies everything. Love converts everything that seems commonplace into that which is wonderful. Love converts weakness into strength and fear into faith. Love. That was from 365 Science of Mind, that last bit there. Another Ernest Holmes book. So he has a lot to say. And the question I keep asking myself, and I invite everybody here to, is, am I open to loving myself? Am I open to receiving love as well, and therefore being able to love others, to love them freely, to love without any kind of restraint? And that's the question I leave you with. And so it is.
So it is.